Minister's to respond. respond to the question that you raised.
Good morning. I think on tourism arrivals, the chair would elaborate on that, but it has never been a one department effort. It's been a cluster effort. In fact, all our missions, almost 125 or 26 South African embassies, High Commission, and Consulate General work together with tourism, together with Brand South Africa, for us to continue on this upward trend against all odds. We all know that from the developed market area, there is confirmed stagnation of economies there. There is confirmed aging population, confirmed in that area. As Honorable Minister Mlawa said, there is a confirmed stagnation of economies, yes, but just general, you know, lack of economic growth globally. So this, to some extent, contributes to tourism arrivals. That South Africa has against all the odds, because of our, you know, working together approach, we have been able to go against the trend and be able to achieve that which we have achieved. Secondly, there was a question about the reforms of UN local governance institutions, in particular the United Nations Security Council reforms. The work is continuing at the UN mission, particularly in New York, but political leaders, wherever they meet and have an opportunity, developing countries, in particular South Africa, working together with other African countries, informed by our Ezuluni consensus, we do not shut up. We continue saying to the local community and leadership, in particular to the five permanent members, that our experience in the past year or two is that where they disagree, that's where the lack of peace creates ugly face, and that it's about time that indeed, as a world democratizes, as the things change, one thing remains the same, that of reluctance to open up for new membership in the United Nations Security Council. So this we will continue working on. We will continue raising it in all the platforms that we find ourselves in. And yes, you're right. Talking is good, but we now want to see action. 1945 is rather too long. Thank you.
Just to add on tourism, as Minister said, it is a collective effort of massive economic diplomats and selling the country abroad. But in addition to that, it also involves the domestic strategies which have been put, trying to extend tourism beyond urban areas to rural areas, innovative marketing systems which we have put in place through our marketing agencies. Those are some of the things which have contributed to the growth, including the tourism incentives which we have put, particularly for small businesses, to put infrastructure for tourism. So those are some of the things which collectively bring this growth. Yes, we are recovering from what we considered as a decline last year. And as you know, the Minister of Home Affairs and Minister of tourism that met to try and deal with the issues which you raised about the issues of visas. So to a certain extent, that might have also contributed, but it is a multiplicity of factors which are contributing to this improved growth. Maybe just to stress some of the key issues, I know the Minister Malewa will deal with it. That these diplomatic efforts, I mean, we have just a target of 50 billion rand in the pipeline through this diplomatic effort. Already in the first 2 quarters, we are over 30 billion, which has come through this direct investment. So which making that working together, we are making quite a significant impact on our economy during these times of global decline. So it is important that that's what brings also to the resilience of our economy, these contributions which are made in terms of attracting investment into South Africa. And but also in addition, we must take into account that our peace efforts, which were put together in Africa, they are also contributing to the positive image. We've maintained this deployment in Mozambique, in DRC, but while we're ending all those, it has improved the image of South Africa. A lot of tourists are actually coming from Africa continent. As a sum of the investment we're making, and the international investments we're making, it is through this regional problem which we're having. I thought we should just put that such effort is contributing collectively to this improved condition of resilience of our economy. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There was a question about the rhino statistics that we probably know. We actually report on statistics only. Let's say that we don't report on statistics only. We report on the performance, the whole performance on the program that we have set ourselves to implement in order to curb rhino poaching. So we do that report on a quarterly basis. The quarter following report will be in January, February next year. But for the last quarter that we reported, subject to just correction on just the odd numbers, was that we lost compared to last quarter, just up to the second quarter, end of the quarter that we reported on, we were sitting at 370, 71, 22, thereabouts, 371 or 372. And we'll get just the odd figure, but it's around 370, as compared to about 458 of the same quarter last year. So I'm saying in this instance that you realize that there was a decrease. It's actually 458 of same quarter last year, 557 of same quarter last year, and 458 of this year. Anyway, there is a decline. That's the message we're driving up. A decline as compared to the same quarter. This is because of the reason that we are really working again in collaboration, all of us together. Therefore, IOTS cluster, all these departments are here, including those that we think are important services, because they are bringing ICT into the fold, because we're beginning to use the technologies also to find this sketch. So we will again bring you the report, but we are confident that the next report will show a decline. What are we saying about the private sector that says something different? We did engage with the private sector. The ban on trade, on rhino horn trade, is actually leading to the increase of poaching. The figures that we have just shown now, that will show you into the future, are putting something different. The opposite is actually proving to be true. However, we have done work, as we have reported to the nation, in relation to a possibility of trade on rhino horn. And that report was given, I'm not going to take much time in dwelling into it. The outcome of that report is that we were not ready yet, as at the time when we went to site. We do think that there's a lot of work that's been done around two or three areas that have been identified and communicated to the private owners. We've also posed that sighting and the identified issues that we need to work on. Went to the whole 6 weeks laboratory thinking mode with the private sector to find one another and say, where are we going to work on in these areas in order for us to improve and get our readiness, state of readiness for the next sighting where we could potentially bring this topic of the lifting of men for South Africa, either once of sale or whatever. In other words, I'm saying we do agree with the private owners that we have not abandoned this work. We are continuing to work on it. If indeed it will contribute to the reduction, further reduction of rhino poaching, we will obviously look at it as we move on. But we are working with them.
Any questions from that side?
None from us, Albi. Back to you.
Thank you. Any further questions from Pretoria? Even compliments and comments are invited. Starting with Khalid, then we'll come back to the front.
Thank you, Ministers. My name is Darren from Ubuntu Radio. I just want to get the reaction from the Ministers on the issue of the South Africa at the United Nations. We recently voted against the African group on the issue of LGBT rights. So I wanted to find out, did our vote, would it not, what is your assessment, whether it's going to affect South Africa's support in terms of getting the support of African countries on the, you know, South Africa's agenda? In pushing to on the permanent seat at the UN Security Council.
Thank you. Last question?
Yes, Kofensi, one last question. I am Task Minister Nkana Mashabane. If you can confirm rumors from Home Affairs that Russian tourists will be traveling South Africa visa free from Paris.
Okay, I think the last question would be from Offenman.
Thank you very much. Minister Twele, I heard you mention that the peacekeeping efforts on the continent are actually contributing to a positive image of South Africa. But recently, South Africa has been accused of actually prioritizing peacekeeping while condoning impunity by pulling out of the Rome Statute. How has that actually affected our standing, you know, since we filed a notice to pull out of the Rome Statute?
I think that the question, the last one, was smuggled to Minister Gwemen. And with his permission, I volunteer to contribute to his response. Since the notice of South Africa withdrawal to the ICC, a week or two later, South Africa was voted in, as Honorable Minister Mulowa said, into the Human Rights Council by more than 173 votes. Just a few days ago, our president led the celebration of the 20th anniversary or celebration of South Africa signing into law one of the most highly regarded constitutions in the world. South Africa's notice for the withdrawal to the ICC, we should take this opportunity to reiterate that our commitment, as I said earlier on, to human rights and fighting impunity remains. In fact, a week or so after the notice of withdrawal, African courts, the need to be the first port of call, but the last. That is one. Start with domestic institutions of law and maintenance of law and order. Two, go to regional courts. Three, then go to ICC. From what I said about the celebration of our constitution, it confirms that there's no way in South Africa that champions human rights, that the world, the global community still believes with their votes of 173 votes that we will never condone impunity, and so will no other country in the continent. What we all need to work together on is how do you remove this notion of perception of inequality and unfairness in the practice of ICC globally. It will not go, this perception, as long as all five permanent security members, out of the five, only two are signatories to the ICC. Even with the two, when their own citizens are being pointed at, we see the reluctance in expediting cases against them, very high level. We don't have time in the Assembly of Affairs to go into mentioning this. The Security Council has also not helped or played its part in terms of Article 16 of the Rome Statute, where the involvement of ICC will pose a threat to peace and security on the African continent. So there was no other motivation for South Africa to place this notice than the few examples that I've referred to at the moment. So we see unfairness, which we think needs to be attended to. The rumor about the Home Affairs, I can say that Russia is the BRICS member country. Honorable Minister Gigaba started last year by declaring openly that senior business people will get a 10-year visa from South Africa. So since the last ICC meeting, we've also looked at possibility of also going down to encourage Russian tourists to visit South Africa. I think the person from Bodhi Open was direct to Ms. Amelia. If not, okay, you share.
The LGBTI?
Yes. Or the LGBTI vote, no, the LGBTI vote, or the way South Africa voted on this matter, has got absolutely nothing to do with our membership of the continent. We are an integral part of this continent, as much as we are a sovereign country. Section 9, subsection 3 of our constitution states that the state may not unfairly discriminate directly or indirectly against anyone of us on the grounds of race, gender, sex, marital status, ethnic or social origin, color, sexual orientation, age, disability, religion, conscience, belief, culture, language, all that. So we will continue interacting with African countries, but we will also stick to our position and we'll continue to share where we come from, because I do not know that Africans, the only problem or challenge at the moment is just this matter. There are many, many other issues, but Similarly, I thought you were referring to the issue that is cross-cutting across continents. That while we are a rich continent, we are a rich continent of poor people. We are all afflicted with the tropical challenges of poverty, of unemployment, and the inequality. So those are the major priorities of the continent. 60% of the young people of beneficiating our natural resources, but above all, starting with the most valuable resource, our young people. We no longer want to be exporting raw materials. It costs some footprint that some level doesn't like. So it's better to beneficiate the stock, but also that we make use of our 60% of our cultural land that's fertile, that's laying fallow, and all that. So there are many other priorities that Africans work together on, including what statement has referred to now on our economic policy. Thank you.
If I may, Minister, you come in, just to add to this issue of the LGBTI. There has been, Minister, a very unfortunate misunderstanding by South Africans and probably some people around the world. We have been approached on this thing of how South Africans voted. And in fact, as Minister Maiteng Mashabane says, this has nothing to do with South Africans' belief in the rights of the people with LGBTI, the LGBTI. It had to do with the rapporteur, who the rapporteur was. And I think that South Africa voted, that our vote was much more unified, because we will actually believe that we'll be vindicated as time goes on. We do believe that it was necessary for the Human Rights Commission that was sitting that meeting to really consider the issue of the rapporteur as we raised it and deal with it differently. So our vote was just around that issue of the rapporteur, not about our beliefs and the rights of the human, the LGBTI. Because we have enshrined the rights of the LGBTI in our constitution, so we could never be seen and never be heard as a country that really denied those people rights. It was about the rapporteur, who we believe that was actually given rights to move in any other country, and the way that resolution was poised then caused us to vote in the manner in which we voted. It had to do with that. So let's clarify that, but we've clarified in the statement that we've made before. We continue to support people with LGBTI, and we work with them on a continuous basis. Issue around, again, how this impacts on the continent. We do believe that it is, for us, a non-issue, really, on the continent, as Minister is saying. There's continuation of working relationships. We've actually also said to you now that we are going to be going to the summit in January, where the President will be leading the summit. Many other issues, integration at a regional level, will continue to occur, because South Africans are well understood by Africans in particular in how well-meaning we are in dealing with the problems as we are proceeding with our diplomatic work on the continent and internationally. Now, pulling out of the road that the Minister has already responded to this question, but may I add that this has not come as an easy decision. We have been engaging with the people around the people at the Hague. Even when President al-Bashir was here in the country, there was a delegation that went to the Hague to plead to have a discussion on how we should handle this matter. We are ignored. We later had a discussion at the AU level, ministers engaged at the AU level, and the committee of ministers was sent to go and engage. Of late, the Minister of Justice, together with team of international relations and cooperation, was at the ASP, the People's Assembly, also engaging on the same matters, trying to get certain clauses of that law, of that those statutes, dealt with differently. That would allow South Africa to exercise our rights in treating certain years of state who are, by the way, not even attending our meetings. President Alashi was not attending our meeting. Was attending the AU meeting. But before that, we've also been saying, where are the other people of other continents who we know are actually trampling on people's rights in those countries? Where are the Israelis? Where are the British? Where are the other presidents who have also similarly engaged in civil rights? We don't see them appearing there. For us to say this is a court of justice, it must really be a court of justice, and justice for all. It can be for some and not for others. That doesn't mean that we allow impunity. Minister has already said that the child president has been tried on the African continent. What are we doing? We are strengthening our laws to allow anybody, the Minister of Justice will talk to that issue because we are the added present at the cluster level. And even as government at cabinet level, we are strengthening our laws, the laws of extradition amongst others, that anybody who wants to extradite somebody in the country who has done something in impacting on people's human rights and elsewhere would have that right to do so. So we are working on those laws. There are three pieces of legislation that the minister will announce at the right stage as what we are doing. On the continent, strengthening the human rights court and the criminal chamber as well. So it's not a fact what we hear people talking about that South Africa movement out of the ICC is therefore allowing impunity. That's not a fact.
Actually, not the only
team
in town.
Maybe just to add, I think your SAPC, your question has been answered, but to say because we act as a collective, in addition to what the minister has said, our institutions in South Africa are very strong. This ANC government is one which voted for this constitution, and as the president said when they were celebrating, that our constitution is stable and it is supported by the majority of people in South Africa. The laws were passed. They also bring executive branch of government that confidence that there will be no impunity under the South African government or the constitution. Our legislation, which approved this legislation, and those which are still being proposed to strengthen our institution in terms of preventing impunity. I thought I should give that at a domestic front. That we don't foresee with our strong institution that there be any impunity in South Africa. Our commitment is without any approach. That's why we've been elected in this multilateral forum, as Minister has said. In terms of the recent voting and the African countries maybe taking a dive for that, I don't think it will happen. Our position is in line with our agenda 2063, which is supported by the majorities of countries in Africa. So I don't think that the recent voting will affect our standing in Africa because it is in line with their. That's an agenda we're implementing as the African countries, the agenda 2063. Thank you.
Thanks, Minister. That's how we wrap up this briefing, and thanks a lot to Cape Town colleagues.
Before you go, let's remind them, what are we taking home? We have had an improvement on economic diplomacy, on regional integration, on peacekeeping, on building resilience of our country's economy, could if we were able to withstand the test of time, amongst many other who are going down. We have realized tourism growth as compared to last quarter of last year. We have realized investments and increased investments. So those are the things that we are taking home.
Thanks so much, ministers and members of the media, officials from different departments. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Well, good morning.
Thank you, colleagues.
Oh. What the issue is.